very much in wolf form. We'll call it a temporary verbal contract, one that will expire in 30 days if you don't contact us to lay out the details with Trey. Looking apprehensively at the gray wolf, the alpha said,
You'll be there too, right?
She smiled. Don't worry, I won't let him eat you. Once we're inside, you can take Roscoe's body. At the alpha's surprised look, she said, We're not trophy killers here. His nod communicated respect. With that, she slowly stood and began to walk toward the caves, signaling for the rest of the pack to keep a fair distance away so that Cujo didn't feel threatened and turn feral again. She didn't have to encourage him to follow her. He remained at her side the entire time, half companion, half guard. Once they had passed through the main entrance of bedrock, she went to the living area and sat down on the large rug. The wolf sat between her legs, closing his eyes as she ran her fingers through his fur. Trey, I need you to come back now or I can't heal you. I don't want to hear any macho shit about alphas not needing healing. If you expect to have sex ever again, you won't fight me on this. It was something like 20 seconds later when the change began. And suddenly, Trey was back in his human form. Instantly, he flopped to his back, breathing hard.
Someone get him a bottle of water!
She called out as the living area filled with people.
Okay, he wheezed.
Sure you are, Flintstone. His wounds actually weren't that bad, but they were ugly and would most likely scar if she didn't heal them. Greta appeared growling.
Now, if you'd have just handed her over, Trey, you'd be fine.
Not now, Wicked Witch of the East, groused Taryn. Here. Grace placed a bottle of water beside Taryn. She offered Trey the bottle, but he shook his head. You still have some blood on your mouth, and I'm not going near said mouth to heal you until you've washed your face, at the very least.
Why would you need to go near his mouth to heal him?
Asked Rhett in that curious tone of his. Turning to see that Trick was the one standing closest to the window, she asked, Trick, would you open that for me?
Why?
So I can gaze lovingly at the sun. Will you just open it? Grunting, he did as she asked while Trey finally drank down some water and wiped his face. Now be still. She was pretty sure he only did it out of curiosity. Taryn placed her hand on his forehead and watched as several patches of his skin suddenly illuminated where there were scratches and bites. She heard a few gasps of, Whoa, and holy shit, coming from behind her but ignored them. Leaning down, she placed her mouth at Trey's and inhaled deeply, taking the foulness from him and then blowing it out of her mouth toward the window. She repeated the move over and over until finally the last luminous patch faded.
I'd say you're done.
With that, she allowed herself to flop onto her back, much as Trey had 5 minutes ago. She almost laughed as she opened her eyes to see several faces, all peering down at her. Then suddenly, she was snatched from the rug and cradled against Trey's chest.
You shouldn't have done that. You look worse than I did.
I'll be fine, you ungrateful asshole. I just need some water and maybe some sort of sugary food.
You got it, said Grace, as she dashed out of the room.
You do know that was awesome, right?
Dante's smile was almost as wide as Marcus's clown grin.
More like unnatural, muttered Greta.
Did you just use the word awesome?
Dominic asked Dante, chuckling.
Come on! She totally calmed a feral wolf and at the same time negotiated an alliance before doing some weird healing stuff. That's some seriously cool shit.
Trey strangely felt a twinge of pride for her, though he still wanted to spank her ass for going near his wolf while he was feral.
My wolf could have hurt you.
Yeah, I know. Blame Dante. He told me I should go for it.
Dante sputtered.
That's not... I didn't... She...
You should see your face.
Her chuckle was interrupted by a cough. Her throat always felt a little hoarse after she used her healing gift. At that moment, Grace handed her a bottle of water and an energy bar.
Thanks.
Never again are you allowed to use that gift, stated Trey firmly, not liking how pale she was. His wolf wasn't happy about it either.
Don't be a goof. Of course I'm going to use it. I wouldn't be much of a healer if I didn't.
You look like a corpse.
I'll be fine.
Just plunk me on that monstrosity of a sofa and let me have a 20-minute nap, and I'll be just as lively as I was before.
She wouldn't have even needed the nap if Trey hadn't had so many bruises and wounds.
Just a little power nap, and I'll be fine.
Trey couldn't help smiling at the way she curled up on the bulky sofa in a fetal position 5 minutes later. She looked even tinier than usual, but still not fragile. There was too much steel in her for that.
Ryan just called, Tao informed him. They've gone.
Trey nodded, and then watched in surprise as some of his pack gathered around her. Dante, Grace, and Rhett sat on her left while Lydia, Marcus, and Cam sat on her right. Trick, Dominic, and Tao all sat on the floor, with the backs of their heads resting against her legs. It was a gesture of support, comfort, and acceptance, as well as an indication that they intended to guard her as she slept. She had earned the respect of each of them in the short time that she had been here. A strange pang struck his chest, unfamiliar and unnerving.
I'm going to take a shower. I'll be back in a few minutes.
They nodded but were focused on Taryn, who had gone out like a light. He and his wolf were comforted by the knowledge that they would stay with her while Trey removed the streaks of blood and the lingering scent of the dead wolf from his body. The dead wolf who was now no longer a threat to his mate or their mating. As Trey was showering, he thought back to how he had felt when, forced to be nothing but an observer, he saw Taryn tentatively trying to gain his wolf's attention. The anger, the frustration, and the anxiety rushed back. There had been something else in that cocktail of emotions. Fear. Trey had actually felt fear. It wasn't that he hadn't experienced that emotion before. Of course he had. Having an underdeveloped conscience and an explosive temper didn't mean he didn't know fear. What was bothering him right now was that he had felt such fear for Taryn, had feared she would be seriously hurt and would be taken from him just like that, and at his own hands. He couldn't even say it was his wolf's fear. His wolf had been going through his own shit right then. No, that had been all Trey. It had to have been a direct consequence of the natural crazy possessiveness and crazy protectiveness that came with mating. It was obviously age-old instincts pushing to the forefront, taking over. Trey understood that the mating would be temporary, but his instincts to protect his mate were obviously going to override his thoughts. Obviously. Just like his instinct to mark his mate and make her submit to him had overridden his true indifference to those things. Yeah, that was all it was. All it could be. Obviously. That didn't improve his mood any, because there was another issue that was bothering him. Taryn shouldn't have been able to calm his wolf. When a wolf shifter went into feral mode, he behaved a lot like a rabid animal. He attacked senselessly. He felt no emotional attachments. He lost all sense of reason and logic. And yet her scent and voice had reached his wolf even through that fog. Trey had felt how quickly his wolf had recognized her as his mate, how quickly he had switched from wanting to kill to wanting to protect. The only reason his wolf had been reluctant to leave the carcass was because he still hadn't been stable enough to understand that the Sandy Wolf was dead and no longer a danger to Taryn. If his wolf was this attached to Taryn now, what would he be like in 3 months? What would happen when she left? Trey's wolf growled his objection, confirming Trey's suspicion that his eventual separation from her could be more problematic and uncomfortable than he had anticipated, even though they hadn't imprinted. Unlike with true mates, a relationship between imprinted mates could wither over time. For an unhappy imprinted couple, it wasn't simply for them to shake hands and go their separate ways, because of the metaphysical bond that existed between them. The pain of that kind of separation was on a psychic level, just as much as a physical one. For most wolves, it meant constant migraines, a lingering sense of emptiness, and slipping in and out of depressive states for a few years, if not longer.
Some wolves even retreated within their human halves completely, unable to function without their mates. The worst-case scenario for any wolf separated from his mate was that he turned rogue, remaining in wolf form and turning completely feral, attacking anyone he came into contact with, like Trey's mother had. After his dad had banished him, his mom, who had been a submissive wolf, had for the first time in her life rebelled against Rick's authority. When Rick refused to reconsider the banishment, Louisa left with Trey and the others, believing that she would cope with the separation because her bond with his father had been through imprinting as opposed to them being true mates. The separation had proven too difficult for her, however, most likely because she had been a submissive wolf. Within 6 months, she had turned rogue, and Trey had been the one to kill her. There was no way he was prepared to go through something like that again. As long as he and Taryn didn't imprint, there was no risk of either of them suffering any of those effects when they separated. But it was obvious that his wolf was already becoming attached to her, and that spooked the hell out of Trey. So instead of going straight to Taryn to check on her like he wanted to, he shut himself in his office. Another thing that spooked him was the knowledge that if she hadn't been with him in that mediation meeting, if she hadn't kept him calm with her touch, he would have most definitely lost it and gone for Daryl's throat. Never had he been able to truly rely on another person. Never had there been someone for him to draw strength from. But that had been okay, because he hadn't wanted to need anyone. He hadn't been the type of kid who craved physical affection, which had been a damn good thing since he'd never gotten it. He had always prided himself on not having that weakness of needing anyone or anything. Having a mate, having a connection that came with mating, was fucking with that. Not that he believed for even 1 minute that the mating connection could override the way he functioned and had always functioned, but he didn't have any interest in encouraging the cravings for his mate by feeding them. Maybe if he distanced himself from her, spent little time with her, didn't touch her, it would ease the matter and ease his wolf's attachment to her. He needed to ignore these urges he had, to be with her, to touch her, to mark her entire body, to ensure his scent was all over her. Those urges had nothing to do with Taryn as a person and everything to do with the fact that she was the one he had mated. If she had been someone else, things would still have been the same. Would they really, though? Questioned a voice in his head, a part of him that thought he was talking out of his ass. Of course it would. That wasn't to say that he didn't like Taryn, he did. And he respected her, which said a lot. And, yeah, okay, there was that weird thing between them, that primal hunger. And she made him laugh, and she was refreshing because she wasn't afraid of him or to speak her mind in front of him, and she... Damn it, no! No. The attraction was mostly just due to their mating. It was just his instincts driving him, not his regard for Taryn. Trey wasn't at the mercy of those instincts or his wolf. He had a mind of his own, and that mind was going to rule how he behaved from here on out. Unless the situation required him to touch her, like when they were posing as mates, he would resist doing so. It would probably be best not to have sex with her again, given that he could never resist the urge to mark her whenever he was inside her. But he couldn't guarantee that sex wouldn't happen. If she made advances, he very much doubted he'd be able to ignore them. To satisfy his overprotectiveness, he would allocate her a bodyguard. No, his wolf wouldn't like her spending large amounts of time with another male, but his wolf would just have to deal with it. Because Trey was going to get a handle on the situation, and he was going to start now. Taryn jerked away at the sound of laughing. Three heads that had been leaning against her legs swerved around.
Oh. Sorry, said Tao. It's just that this episode of Friends is hilarious.
They're all hilarious, she mumbled as she sat upright. Trick and Tao each scooted over a little so that she had room to stretch her legs out.
How are you feeling? Asked a voice to her right as a finger trailed down her cheek. She looked up to see Grace.
Fine, thanks.
It was only then that she realized that they were all gathered around her. She understood what this meant. Not only had they been offering her comfort, they accepted her as a member of the pack. temporary member of the pack, she reminded herself. You look better, said Tao.
How long was I out?
She asked no one in particular as she stretched her arms, which were a little stiff from her fetal position.
About an hour, replied Dante.
You should have woken me. I didn't need to sleep that long.
Tao, who was rubbing his jaw against her knee, asked,
Do you always need sleep after you use your gift?
She shook her head.
I was just tired because Trey had so many injuries, even though they weren't life-threatening.
Where is Flintstone, anyway? Dante suddenly seemed a little uncomfortable.
He went to have a shower and, he's probably making some calls or something in his office.
In other words, he hadn't reappeared to check on her.
Why should he, though?
You need anything? Asked Grace. Coffee or something?
Taryn waved her hand.
I can get it. I'm fine.
No!
They all said in unison before Grace rushed from the room. She rolled her eyes. I'm not an invalid.
No, agreed Lydia, but you're our alpha female, which means we look out for you.
Come on, you know it's only temporary. You don't need to take things so far.
Then let us just do it temporarily.
Is there anything else you want? Grace asked, as she handed her a huge mug of coffee. Taryn took the mug gratefully and sipped from it.
Actually, I was wondering if any of you have a computer I could use once I've had a shower.
I do, said Rhett. It's in my room.
Then let's go. Seeing that they were all ready to object to her moving just yet, she held up her hand.
I said I'm fine. As much as I appreciate the concern, I'm going to need you all to stop fussing.
Wearing petulant expressions, they gave her space to rise and leave. A shower and a change of clothes later, she was in Rhett's bedroom. It was smaller than Trey's and had quite a geeky feel to it. He led her to his IT corner and introduced her to his amazingly high-tech contraption. He had almost every program she could think of, thousands of games, access to all kinds of confidential shit, and a mind that worked just as fast as that piece of technology. She didn't know whether to be impressed or freaked out.
So, in short, you're a hacker.
I can just about manage emailing. Hacking's not as hard as you might think. It's pretty much like sex. You want to get in and out, leaving little trace of you ever having been there. So, what do you need?
I just need access to the internet. I've probably been disconnected from my old pack web, so I'll need to join yours.
Your what?
You don't have a pack web?
Taryn was surprised, considering he seemed to have everything else. He shook his head.
What is it?
It's kind of like a social network, but it's exclusive to whoever's in your pack.
A little like Facebook and Twitter?
Exactly. Only it's not so much to encourage social interaction as it is to showcase your pack. Let me show you. After typing in the address, Taryn took them to the homepage of USA Pack Webs. Entering her name and password, she was immediately transferred to a visual of what was termed the Onyx Pack Web, her old pack. It was a little like looking at an image of the solar system, only instead of the sun being in the center, it was a photo of the Alpha, her dad. And instead of planets dotted around the 8 circles surrounding the sun, individual photos of each pack member was randomly dotted around the circles. Her own photo was set aside, as if free-floating in space.
Oh, yeah. She'd been disconnected, all right.
Because we're not part of the pack, we don't have access to this web, which means we can't see the public blog and add to it. But watch this. Using the mouse, she moved the arrow to point on one of the photos. Instantly, the photo enlarged, and a little personal information on that pack member came up. It was like looking at a baseball card, only it was referred to as an information card. Rhett read it aloud.
Full name. Shia Critchley. Gender? Female. Age 23. Status? Unmated. Rank? Subordinate. Challenges? 4. Challenges 1, 2.
That's all you can know unless you were to gain permission from the Alpha to browse through the pack web. He turned to look at her.
Every pack has one?
She shook her head. Not every pack. They're a good thing to have because not only is it a good way for all pack members to interact no matter where they are, but it means that other packs can get a vague idea of how powerful yours is. Look at this. Taryn pointed the cursor at Lance, and instantly a photo popped up with a small amount of personal information underneath. Again, Rhett read it aloud.
Full name. Lance Kai Warner. Gender, male. Age, 43. Status, mate deceased. Rank, pack alpha. Challenges, 12. Challenges 1, 12. Number of alliances, 32. Total number of wolves, 26.
He seemed lost in thought for a moment before turning his attention back to Taryn.
So we could create our own web.
She nodded. Easy. First, you just need to sign up to USA Pack Webs. You know, this would be a good way to form alliances. Other alphas now have a way of getting in touch with Trey without risking turning up, only to get their head chewed off.
How could they contact him?
See the option on the top right of the information card, send message? That same option is on everybody's information card. Speaking of which, let me just check to see if I have any. She double-clicked on her own card and saw a notice that she had 57 messages.
57?
It'll just be people wanting to know if the mating's kosher and all that. All I'm interested in is whether Shia and Caleb have been in touch. It turned out that they had both contacted her. Again, they'd both expressed concern about her safety and tried convincing her that she was wrong about Trey being her true mate, asking to meet up with her so they could all talk. I think that's exactly what I'm going to have to do.
What?
Meet up with them. They're not buying that the mating is real. If they hear it from my mouth, if I can convince them that I'm fine and Trey doesn't intend to hurt me, then maybe they'll accept it. They're both tenacious bastards. They won't let this go. Rhett sighed.
I doubt Trey will let you leave the property.
Let her leave?
Snort.
She leaned back in her chair and folded her arms. Actually, I was thinking that if they see me here in this setting, it might be more believable for them.
You're probably right there. Okay. You got time to help me with this before you go ask Trey?
Sure. Trey looked up from an old photograph of his dead mother when he heard the knock on his office door.
Come in.
As he expected, Tao strolled inside. He had also anticipated Dante tagging along since he was a nosy bastard. Both wolves took the seats in front of Trey's thick oak desk. Shoving the photo underneath a sheaf of papers inside it, he focused his attention on Tao.
I'm electing you as Taryn's personal bodyguard.
The head enforcer nodded agreeably, which sort of stunned Trey.
You know what this means, don't you? I'll need to pull you away from your usual duties, because your main priority will be Taryn's safety.
Someone else will become head enforcer, I know,
said Tao with a nod.
I was sort of expecting a protest.
Tao shrugged.
I considered it an honor when I was made head enforcer, and I enjoy that position, but it will be just as much an honor to be my alpha female's bodyguard. Besides, Taryn's interesting to be around,
he added with a smile. Trey arched a brow.
I hope that's all you find her to be.
Isn't it going to be a bad idea for you to have someone else looking out for her?
Dante asked rhetorically.
Why would it be?
He sighed.
Because it's your job as her mate to be her protector, and it will nettle your protective instincts, not to mention your wolf, if you ignore that.
I'm not ignoring it. I'm assigning someone to watch over her, which means I'm addressing the issue of her safety. Protective instinct covered.
Trey had kept his tone aloof and cool, but the way Dante narrowed his eyes told him that he was seeing more than Trey wanted him to.
Speaking of Taryn, you might want to come see what she and Rhett set up.
Set up?
On the computer. Come see.
Minutes later, many of the pack were crowded into Rhett's bedroom as he showed them their pack web and explained everything about how it worked and how it would benefit the pack. He showed the others how to use it and introduced them to the public blog.
Well, what do you think?
Asked Rhett.
This was your idea?
Trey asked Taryn, impressed.
And Rhett's. It was a joint project. I had no idea other packs had this kind of stuff.
said Dante, sounding a little awed.
How long ago did your dad set his web up?
Taryn jiggled her head as she thought on it. 5 years ago, maybe?
It's good, said Trey. Really good.
Tao draped an arm over her shoulders.
Guess who's been assigned to you as your bodyguard?
I need a bodyguard?
No, but most alphas have them. In reality, bodyguards are more like hovering slaves.
And you're happy to be a hovering slave?
I'm happy to be your hovering slave.
At that moment, Trey was very much regretting having made Tao her bodyguard. He didn't like Tao's flirtatiousness, didn't like how easily Taryn had taken to the other male's touch. He wanted to grab Taryn and pull her to him, wanted to lick over his mark to remind her she was claimed by Trey. Rhett's voice broke into his thoughts.
I checked to see if Daryl had set one up, but he hasn't. Shame. We could have gotten an idea of who has what position within the pack nowadays.
By the way, Taryn began as she went to stand directly in front of Trey. Remember the female who kept trying to get me to walk away from you while we were in the club?
Yeah,
he replied, hiding how content he was that she was away from Tao. It was a struggle not to touch her, but he wouldn't let those instincts rule him. Her name's Shaya. She's my best friend. Well, her and Caleb.
Caleb?
Rolling her eyes at the amount of jealousy coating that one word, she continued, I'm going to need to meet up with them. They're not buying that this mating's real. They need to hear it from me, face to face.
Then we'll meet up with them somewhere public, like...
No, no, no. You can't be there when we talk.
What do you mean I can't be there?
He had meant to sound affronted, but it came out petulant. Not the whole time, anyway. They're worried about me. They think you might be hurting me or that you're forcing me to stay. It's why they're so desperate to speak to me alone. I want to see if I can get them to come here, to see that I'm alive and fine and that you and I are happily mated. He folded his arms across his chest to stop himself from reaching out to her.
Why exactly weren't they so worried when Roscoe forced his claim on you?
That was different. Unlike you, Roscoe wrapped his meanness up in charm and managed to fool a lot of people with it.
You're saying I have no charm?
She gave him a bright, mocking smile. Why, of course you have charm. You practically ooze it. Ego better now? He sighed.
Call them. Invite them to come here sometime this week.
The weekend would be better because they work through the week. I'm thinking Saturday morning.
Fine.
The way he so abruptly left the room had Taryn frowning. It was as though the guy was desperate to get away from her or something. It wasn't until later that evening, when she found herself lying in bed very alone, that she began to think on it a little more. Trey had been different with her since the confrontation with Roscoe that morning. Or more accurately, he had been indifferent. There had been no more heated looks, no more whispered promises, no more licking the marks on her neck, no more taking the odd moment to inhale her scent. But it wasn't just that. He was barely speaking to her. And now, here she was, alone, because he had things to do in his office. Well, it seemed like the very sexual male from the past 2 days had retreated, or had retreated from her, at least. It occurred to her then that maybe it had only been his wolf's insecurity in the mating that had been behind his fevered urge to be inside her and mark her. Maybe now that the threat of Roscoe was gone and his wolf was more settled, Trey would no longer have that urge. Hell, maybe without the mating urges, he would never have wanted her at all. The idea shouldn't have sparked a dull ache in her chest, and it shouldn't have made her suddenly desire to cuddle herself. Yet, it did. But what had she expected? Trey was a big guy with a lot of pride, and probably didn't have a thing for tiny females who would challenge his dominance. Her body wasn't exactly model material, and then there was the fact that she was latent. He acted as though it didn't bother him, but it was likely that in truth he saw the latency as a weakness, and it made her very unattractive to him. A noise penetrated her thoughts, and she realized that someone had entered the room. The scent flowed over her, stroking her senses and stirring her wolf, who was anxious for some contact with her mate.
But Taryn hadn't begged for scraps from her dad's table, and she wouldn't be begging for scraps from Trey's table either. So she remained on her side, facing the wall, faking sleep, ignoring her wolf's growling protests. Trey took one look at Taryn's still form and sighed in relief. She was asleep. He hadn't woken her. He had been fighting his wolf. Hell, he'd been fighting himself for hours on the subject of going to Taryn, of getting in some physical contact, social or sexual. He was literally starving for it. Had he known that mating would be this bad, with all its urges, instincts, and needs, he probably wouldn't have made it at all. After quietly using the bathroom and stripping down to his boxers, he slipped beneath the covers and resisted the desire to snuggle into her. Instead, he rolled to his side so that his back was to hers, and there was enough space between them in the large bed to fit another person. His wolf growled at the idea, but Trey ignored him and ignored his instincts. And he closed his eyes, completely oblivious to the fact that the eyes of the woman behind him had opened and had a haunted look in them at the realization that she'd bound herself to a wolf who now had no interest in her. Chapter 7. Just as she had each morning over the past week, Taryn was perched on the kitchen counter, sipping her coffee, while engaged in a staring contest with dear old Greta. It was practically ritualistic for them to partake in a battle of wills whenever they were in the same room. Each time, Taryn would leave the room smiling, leaving Greta purple in the face and growling. Once Greta had realized that she wasn't going to scare Taryn off, she had taken to simply insulting her, and generally being difficult. In truth, Taryn found the whole thing just as entertaining as everyone else did. As usual, they were all eating quietly as they waited for the verbal spar to begin.
"What are you looking at, hussy?"
Greta finally spat.
"I haven't figured that out yet."
Huffing, Greta drank down more of her weird green herbal tea.
"I hope you're not getting comfortable. You won't be here for much longer."
"So you've said. Repeatedly."
"You might have some of the others fooled, but I see you for what you are."
"Is that right?"
"I warned my boys all about females like you."
"Oh, come on. Your imagination was never this good."
Hand over her heart, she said with fake misery,
"My daughter is probably turning in her grave now. You've got tattoos, for God's sake!"
A cruel smirk suddenly curved her lips.
"I suppose I shouldn't have expected much better, what with your wolf basically being disabled. What does it feel like to be latent? To know your wolf will forever be trapped?"
"I don't know.
What does it feel like to be so old that your birth certificate is in Roman numerals?"
The smirk quickly fell from the crone's face, and Taryn smiled. Entering the kitchen, Trey wasn't surprised to find his mate and his grandmother glaring at each other. Neither even spared him a glance. Given that Taryn seemed cheery while Greta looked like she was chewing a wasp, Trey could guess who was on top of the situation. His grandmother was doing her best to intimidate Taryn. However, his little mate was holding her own, making it clear that she didn't take any shit from anyone, especially one who was old and senile. His wolf didn't like that Taryn's attention hadn't immediately shot to him, and before Trey knew it, he'd yanked gently on her hair to make her look at him. Restraining himself from nipping her lower lip, he simply gave her a nod. A growl of approval built in his chest as he saw that she was wearing a black, tight-fitting t-shirt that showed off some of his marks. Marks that were fading, he then noticed. His wolf growled angrily inside his head.
"Morning, son. Come sit down and get something to eat."
Greta's voice was now sugary sweet.
"How long before your friends get here?"
he asked Taryn as he took a seat. "They should be here any minute now. Remember what you promised."
"I'll give you some time to talk with them alone," he assured her,
though it would nettle his wolf to know there was a strange male wolf around her. He told himself it wouldn't bother Trey the man so much, and if his wolf could have snorted, he would have.
"At some point, I'll come over there so we can act the mated couple, totally devoted to one another and completely smitten and all that."
Again, Taryn was struck by the feeling of how unfair it was that she would never have that, especially that she would never have it with Joey. And now here she was, about to commit the ultimate blasphemy again and claim that the one person created for her had never been her true mate at all. God, this sucked big time. At least she and Trey were exchanging a few words. Occasionally, he wouldn't speak to her at all. Or there were the times when she would enter a room and he would immediately leave. He spent most of his time cooped up in his office. She knew he had to keep an eye on his investments. He actually had a pretty good head for business. But surely he didn't need to spend that much time in there. Making the whole thing even more annoying was that Selma had picked up on the huge divide between them and tried clinging to him as much as she could. Just as she was doing right now at the table. The only thing preventing Taryn from reacting was that Trey was growling, warning the female away from him. Still, it pissed her off to no end. But damned if she would let either of them know that.
"Warning," drawled Tao, as he strolled into the room.
He play-punched her shoulder before joining the others at the table. "Ass," she snapped, smiling. Trey knew he shouldn't have the urge to growl at his ex-head enforcer. It was just a play-punch. It wasn't sexual. It hadn't hurt her, and it had only been the briefest touch. But Trey was honestly considering stabbing the wolf with his fork. It might not have annoyed him so much if Tao wasn't always touching her. The guy had taken his role as bodyguard a little too literally. Trey couldn't understand how he hadn't noticed before the way Tao looked at her. Mixed in with admiration and respect was a deep longing, and Trey didn't like it one bit. His wolf was urging him to take a swipe at his enforcer and warn him off. Perversely, Trey the man liked that others wanted what was his, and that gave him strength against his wolf's drive to separate her from the other male. Also, Trey knew that no matter how much Tao might want Taryn, he would never encroach. He was too good a guy for that. Nonetheless, his wolf wasn't particularly interested in whether or not Tao was a good guy. He didn't want him around Taryn so much. Trey inhaled deeply, reminding himself that he was in control, not his wolf, not those primal instincts. The smile on Dante's face said he knew what inner struggle Trey had been going through. The ringing of his cell phone distracted Trey from thoughts of flicking scrambled egg at his beta.
"That was Kirk," he announced, unending the call. "They're here. You just let them through the gate. Should only be a minute before their SUV pulls up outside."
Taryn hopped down from the counter and stretched. "Time for scene one. The Alpha Pair's welcome. Make it good, Flintstone. These guys won't be easy to convince."
"I noticed that at the club."
"They won't be trying to separate the two of you like they did that night," stated Dante.
Hearing the fierceness in his tone and watching the way his body language became confrontational, Taryn pointed hard at him. "You are not going to spend the next few hours trying to intimidate them. They're already scared half to death by Trey."
"Are you going to tell me they won't try to convince you to leave with them?"
"Of course they will."
"Let's hope our luck stretches that far," muttered Selma.
Hope and Kirk chuckled. Everyone else ignored them.
"They won't dare ask you to leave if a few of us are sitting with you," said Dante.
Taryn shook her head. "Not a chance, Barney Rubble. You all stay the hell away and give us some privacy."
"It'll only be until Trey comes over."
"No, I'm not having any of you hovering around us like parental supervisors, not even Tao." Tao frowned.
"But I'm your bodyguard."
"They're not a threat to me." As all three males opened their mouths to say something, she held up her hand.
"I don't want to hear it. Now let's do this."
Seeing the resolve in her expression, Trey sighed and took her soft hand in his large, calloused one as they walked together to the main door. Marcus was holding it open, watching with his usual grin as their visitors hesitantly exited the SUV and, with slow, nervous strides, made their way up the stairs. Trey locked his arms around Taryn's waist, keeping her back against his chest, and allowed himself the luxury of burying his face in her neck, to drown in that scent that could so easily make his cock hard. He shouldn't have been surprised when he woke up that morning and found himself curled around her, with his face nestled in the crook of her neck, taking comfort in the exotic smell of his mate as he slept,
At some point in his sleep, he had covered that huge space between them and fed the hunger that he had ignored for the past week. Then, he had sneaked out of bed before she realized. Had she not been such a deep sleeper, he would never have gotten away with it. As Shia and Caleb finally came to stand in front of them, shuffling from foot to foot and completely avoiding eye contact with Trey, Taryn had to refrain from groaning. She knew he had an intimidating presence, but she didn't think he was that bad. Okay, maybe he was. Thanks for coming.
It's been weird not seeing you every day, said Shia.
Taryn discreetly pinched Trey's arm, urging him to do his part. Flinching a little, he said,
Welcome. I have a few things to do, but Taryn will take you down to the lake, won't you, baby?
Yep. 4 days ago, Greta had come to him complaining that Taryn had taken their deck chairs and barbecue from storage and set them up near the lake as an area where she could go and relax. Well, she hadn't taken the items personally, more like she had turned into Captain Von Trapp and had his enforcers virtually marching as they followed her every command. He had to admit it was a nice little setup, and he was surprised no one had thought to do it before.
Great. Thanks, said Caleb, his eyes still lowered.
A few minutes later, Taryn was sitting by the lake at the patio table, trying her best not to laugh at the way Shia and Caleb were glancing around nervously, as if they were expecting Trey to jump out and pounce on them.
They're all very protective, noted Caleb, referring to the pack.
And wasn't that an understatement? It was laughable the way the males were hanging around, trying to look as though they weren't there to keep an eye on her and ensure she wasn't kidnapped. Like that would ever happen. Marcus and Trick were lazing in the lake as if it wasn't a chilly day. Tao sat against a nearby tree reading a book that was upside down, and Dante and Ryan were cleaning a barbecue that was already spick and span. All were occasionally sneaking covert looks at Taryn and her friends. At least they thought they were being subtle anyway. Apparently, she should have better defined the hell away, because they didn't appear to have gotten the idea.
Yeah, she agreed. Which means you must have proven your worth as an alpha female. So I'm guessing that the tale about you calming a feral Trey was true.
The emphasis on the word feral irritated Taryn. He hasn't hurt me, and he's not going to.
Taryn, have you seen yourself in a mirror? You're covered in marks.
Most of which were fading, thankfully.
Someone that possessive isn't balanced.
I know Trey's a few fries short of a happy meal, but it doesn't mean he'll hurt me.
How can you be so sure of that? His wolf goes feral, for God's sake.
But even feral, he doesn't hurt me.
And you expect us to believe that because he's your true mate, right?
Caleb snickered.
There's no way I can believe that.
Shia appealed to her with a look. Taryn, we watched you, at 9 years old, slip into a state of depression. It was like being around a zombie. You existed, but you didn't live. It was all just mechanical, and we understood why. You had just lost the other half of your soul. It was a shock that you even survived it. No one thought you would. I mean, I know you two hadn't mated, but you had still formed a connection, and you were so young. It hasn't occurred to you that maybe the reason I lived was because that connection, solid and true though it was, just wasn't the connection between true mates? That maybe the reason I reacted so badly was because I just lost my best friend and my mom in the same accident? Caleb lowered his voice as he spoke.
Look, if your dad's right and you did this to get away from Roscoe, well, he's dead now. You don't have to keep this up.
God, you could have come to me. I'd have mated you. I still will if it's what you want.
Taryn smiled. Caleb, that's sweet and all, but do you really think I'd ask you to enter a permanent mating with someone you thought of as nothing but a friend? An annoying friend at that, ending any chance of you having a life with your true mate? He shrugged, suddenly seeming uncomfortable. His voice was even quieter when he spoke again.
Who says I see you as nothing but a friend? Maybe I just hadn't acted on what I felt because it would have felt like I was betraying Joey.
Taryn rolled her eyes.
Yeah, right.
So you hadn't wanted to mate with Roscoe? Asked Shia.
Not particularly, no. I thought he was kind of vain and overly flirtatious. You know how stuff like that annoys me.
I don't know how my dad or anyone else can claim that me mating with Trey, someone who had been a stranger to me before that day, has anything to do with that. Maybe if I had the power of mind control and could hypnotize him to believe and claim that I was his true mate, then yeah, sure.
Obviously you guys believe you're true mates. I saw for myself what happened, said Shia. But isn't it possible that it was just a really strong case of lust at first sight? 'Cause, you know, I've been there. It's powerful. A loud, sharp, metallic tock sound had Taryn looking up. She smiled at her relatively new friend, who was perched on a branch high in the tree to her left.
Hey, big guy. Come on down here.
Oh, no, Taryn, please don't.
Shia whined, but it was too late. The huge, glossy, black raven was already on the table. Caleb frowned.
What is it with you and birds? Why do they always like you?
Taryn shrugged one shoulder.
Isn't he gorgeous?
I don't like crows,
whined Shia, leaning back in her seat.
It's a raven.
Well, then I don't like ravens.
How can you not like them? They're so intelligent and beautiful. Look at the way his feathers shine a kind of metallic violet in the light. He made a series of guttural croaks that had Shia flinching.
Aren't ravens an omen of death and disease?
Taryn rolled her eyes at the nervousness in her friend's voice. For God's sake, Shia, it's only a bird.
And a scavenger, did you forget that part? Wait, does it only have one leg? And hang on, did it just bark?
Taryn chuckled. Ravens can imitate a whole variety of sounds, even a human voice. As if to back her up, he made a series of gurgling and croaking noises, followed by another bark. See? LJ's cool. Caleb made a choking noise.
LJ?
Yeah, as in Long John Silver, the sailor cook with the one leg. Oh, right. Ravens only have one mate too, you know, she said as she watched him return to the tree. Caleb sighed.
I don't care what you say, Taryn. There's no way I'll believe Joey wasn't your true mate.
Of course he wouldn't, the opinionated SOB. Just because I'm mated now doesn't mean Joey means any less to me than he did before. That bond we had doesn't mean any less because he once filled a place inside me. It's not that Trey's replaced him, because Trey has his own place. Not one word of that had been a lie. Now that she'd mated with Trey, he did have his own place. He just wasn't filling it. Shia ran her hand through her hair, sighing.
I want you to have this, Taryn. I really do want you to have this. I'm just worried that somewhere along the way you'll think, hey, I was wrong, he's not my true mate at all. Then you'll have lost two mates. Where would that leave you?
I don't want to see you in that state ever again, and, well, for God's sake, Taryn, how can you not be petrified of him?
He's a walking time bomb, Taryn. He's...
Taryn held up her hand. Look, Caleb, if you're here to try to turn me against my own mate, then you might as well save your breath to blow up your doll. Grinning, he shook his head and took the hand that Taryn had held up.
I want to say I'm happy for you, but... Well, I'd be lying. I don't want you mated to a psycho. Just swear to me that you're happy here. At the end of the day, that's all that really matters.
In some ways, Taryn was happy. These people, with the exception of Greta, Kirk, Brock, Selma, and Hope, didn't treat her like she was inferior just because she was latent. She didn't feel like an outsider or someone who needed to be constantly on the defensive. The atmosphere here was the total opposite of the one she had grown up in, and she found it refreshing. She had become close friends with Lydia, as she spent a lot of time helping with her graphic design business. She was a great person to be around. She entertained Taryn nonstop with her little eccentricities and her habit of saying whatever the hell she thought. Taryn wouldn't have thought that someone like that could be so suited to the very sensitive Cam, and yet Lydia was. When she wasn't with Lydia, she was often with Grace, who was helping her improve her cooking skills, or sometimes Rhett, who was teaching her how to hack. Tal was, of course, often there, but as her friend, just as much as her bodyguard. He was very easy to be around. He wasn't complicated. He didn't brood, and he didn't blow hot and cold. Trey could learn a few things from him. She also found that she got along pretty well with Marcus, which kind of surprised her, because ordinarily she tired of flirtatious people. And Marcus was extremely flirtatious,
When he turned the full force of his huge, impish grin on her, there was no holding back a blush. Maybe it was because he gave some fantastic shoulder massages that the flirtatiousness didn't bother her. Very possible. She hadn't known that he and Trix scratched each other's itch from time to time until she stumbled upon them having some fun at the lake. Damn, that had been hot, and it had taken all her self-control to leave rather than stay and watch. Apparently, they had known she was there, as Trick later teased her about it and still continued to do so on occasion. Trick was a tease in general. He seemed to get his kicks from making people blush or feel uncomfortable. But since he targeted Selma and Kirk a lot, Taryn was totally fine with it. Although Ryan didn't talk much and mostly communicated through grunts, Taryn rather liked him. Unlike everyone else, she spoke to him as though she actually expected him to respond, until eventually he began to talk to her a little. She wasn't surprised to find that Ryan was quite intelligent, even more so than Rhett. He was very big brotherly with her, as opposed to Dominic, who often asked her what color her underwear was, and tried to look down her shirt. He was the worst perv ever, and constantly hit her with dirty chat-up lines that he didn't need to use. Just one look at him had females drooling. He just seemed to enjoy being a perv, and yet it was impossible not to like him. Dante was another person who was impossible to dislike, but behind his laid-back, I-don't-take-life-seriously attitude was an astute, diplomatic, extremely observant person. Trey's withdrawal from her, however, tainted her otherwise happy state. She knew it was a good thing that they didn't spend much time together. She knew it was best that she didn't find herself happy here when she had every intention of leaving. Still, it stung, because she got the feeling that Trey's withdrawal had nothing to do with that and everything to do with the simple fact that he didn't desire her. Seriously, who would want to lie in the same bed each night with someone who purposely left enough room between them to fit an elephant? Worse, she couldn't argue with the fact that she still belonged to him in a sense. Who would want to belong to someone who didn't want her? She was considering moving into one of the guest rooms, but she suspected that if she increased the distance between them, it would only make her wolf worse. Her wolf was restless and miserable enough after going a week with only minimum contact with her mate. What Taryn was thankful for was that she and her wolf were in perfect accord on one thing. There would be no begging her mate for more, no matter how bad things were. Taryn consoled herself with the reminder that this would all be over in just over 10 weeks, and then, with any luck, she might be able to switch to her uncle's pack. She had been delighted when she discovered that his pack was signed up to the USA Packwebs. She had sent him a nice friendly message, asking how he was doing and stuff. Of course not mentioning that she and Trey weren't true mates. Only when Daryl's challenge was over would she let the information loose. Her hope was that she might first be able to forge an alliance between Trey and her uncle's Alpha. Not only would this benefit Trey, but it might also increase her chances of the Alpha agreeing to let her join his pack at a later date. Taryn was snapped out of her thoughts as Caleb abruptly dropped her hand, and his gaze was drawn to something over her shoulder. She turned to see Trey strolling toward her, looking as sexy and intimidating as always. Time for scene two, looking lovey-dovey. She hadn't expected that it would be so hard emotionally to fake intimacy with a person. But it felt weird and uncomfortable because it wasn't real. On the plus side, some physical contact with him would calm her wolf a little. Trey grabbed the chair beside Taryn, turned it to face her, and then sat before lifting her from her own seat and placing her on his lap, straddling him. He couldn't help marveling over how well she fit there, and at the same time being annoyed about it. His cock wasn't annoyed. It was quickly rising to attention, especially as she was wearing those bend-me-over-and-fuck-me-now knee boots.
Hey.
After skimming his nose along the crook of her neck to again take her scent deep into him, he gave her a lingering kiss. He'd missed her taste.
How's my girl doing?
Fine, she almost purred as he ran his hands up and down her back. Her wolf was lazing, content within her. It didn't matter to her wolf that the entire thing was an act. All that mattered was that she was having physical contact with her mate. Unable to resist, Trey looked over his mark and smiled as she quivered.
I know you wanted some time with your friends, but I don't like it when you're out of my sight for too long.
It was a pain in the ass that that was the truth. Although he spent little time with her, he would still seek her out several times a day, usually every few hours, just to check on her.
That's okay. I missed you.
She brushed her lips against his and then gestured to her edgy-looking friends. And Shia and Caleb don't mind. He gave them a simple nod of acknowledgement, which they returned with shaky smiles. His attention quickly returned to Taryn as he drank in the sight of her in a way that he usually did, only when no one was watching.
Have you noticed my surveillance team?
Trey smiled.
I noticed. I approve.
I'll bet you do, she grumbled. He shrugged unrepentantly as he spoke against those luscious lips.
I like knowing you're safe.
And yet you haven't thrown out your inherently evil grandmother. Chuckling, he shaped her waist with his hands.
I know she's being a little difficult right now, but she's one of those people who grow on you.
No, she's one of those people who are like slinkies.
Slinkies?
Yeah, basically useless, but they make you smile when you push them down the stairs. He laughed before nibbling and sucking on her earlobe.
She'll come around.
A shiver racked Taryn's body as he grazed his teeth over his mark.
Trey, you can't do that in public. It has an embarrassing effect.
His totally wicked laugh made her nervous. Of course the bastard nipped at her mark. Deciding some retaliation wouldn't be such a bad thing, she squirmed slightly against his very hard cock. He might not particularly desire her, but his body would still react to his mate's scent. He groaned against her neck. Trey knew he could leave now. They had done enough touchy-feely stuff, and she probably still had things to talk about with her friends. In fact, he should leave. Her friends were anxious and uncomfortable when he was around, as though they expected him to lunge at them or something. But he couldn't bring himself to break the contact with Taryn. Instead, he lazed back into his seat and pulled her forward so that she was draped across his chest.
Don't mind me. You carry on talking. I won't even be listening. I'm too distracted by your scent.
Another truth.
As he looked over her shoulder, he saw that Tao was looking at them with envy in his expression. Envy that he wasn't bothering to conceal. Holding Tao's gaze, Trey nodded a hand in Taryn's hair, a gesture of possessiveness, a reminder that she was his. Tao lowered his eyes and continued staring at his book. Did he know it was upside down?
How's my dad?
Taryn asked Shia, groaning as Trey began gently massaging her back.
Feel good, baby?
He asked. She nodded against his chest.
Alternating from being angry with you to wondering if just maybe this mating could be more beneficial than the one with Roscoe would have been,
Shia replied to Taryn's question, her expression studious as she observed Taryn and Trey together.
Thought as much,
grumbled Taryn before groaning again.
Trey, your hands are magical. You already knew that.
He groaned again as her body shook against his chest as she laughed, sending all kinds of interesting vibrations through him in his very hard cock. He combed his fingers through her hair.
I love the way it has all those different shades of blonde in it, and even a little bit of red.
Another truth. It annoys me. It can't seem to decide what color it wants to be.
It has me curious.
She lifted her head, resting her chin on his chest.
About?
In a voice too low for anyone else to hear, he said,
Well, as much as I like you bald down there, I wouldn't mind knowing if the color of the carpet matches the curtains.
She slapped his chest.
Trey! Oh, look,
snickered a familiar, annoying, witchy voice. Greta.
Not only is she lounging all over you like a slut, but she's flashing her underwear to all and sundry.
Glancing back, Taryn saw that the top of her red, lacy thong had ridden above her jeans.
Do you like it? I quite like your blouse, Greta. Wouldn't you like to slip into something more comfortable, though? Perhaps a coma? Didn't anyone ever tell you sarcasm's the lowest form of wit?
Greta turned to Shia and Caleb.
Do us all a favor and take this hussy with you when you leave.
Taryn sighed.
How about we play fetch with a twist, Greta? I'll throw the ball for you, but just don't come back. What do you think?
Huffing, the old woman marched off. Taryn smiled at a chuckling Trey before laying her head back on his chest, facing Shia and Caleb. She wondered what their odd expressions meant.
She finally found out an hour later as she walked them to Shia's SUV.
I told you that what really matters is that you're happy, said Caleb. And it seems like you are.
Is that your way of saying that I have your blessing?
I'm still having trouble getting my head around him being your true mate, but, well, you act like true mates, and he obviously